text is Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and first part of 26, and the title of the message is, How Long Will the Blindness of Israel Continue? In a previous sermon, we saw that Paul began speaking to the Gentiles, remember? Romans 11 and verse 13 is sort of where this he begins to speak directly to them. He says, For I speak to you Gentiles. And Paul had several things to say to the Gentiles in light of the great fall of the Jews. So we want to take a look, first of all, at a summary this morning of Paul's instructions to the Gentiles. And first of all, Paul makes it clear to them that he occupied a special office in which he was designated as the apostle to the Gentiles. That's found in verse 13. Now, as you know, this was a very high office in the church. He was the principal apostle in taking the gospel to the world. Not the only one. Pretty much all spoke to Gentiles, but Paul was principally charged in that office. And as such, Paul had a very difficult role in the spread of the gospel, since he was opposed at every turn by the Jews, you see. He was threatened and persecuted. He was chased out of cities. He was beaten and stoned. On one occasion, you might remember, they stoned him and left him for dead. They thought, surely he's dead now. We've hit him with enough rocks. God raised him up. Paul was eventually shuffled off to the Roman authorities, where he was imprisoned for about 5 years in Rome before he was finally beheaded. You know, when Paul was first converted, he was made blind by the glory of Christ. He saw the light. He saw the glory of Christ, and he was blinded for a time. And he was told to go on into Damascus and wait for further instructions. Then the risen Christ spoke to a man named Ananias, you remember? And told Ananias to go lay hands on Paul and restore his sight. And then listen to what Christ told Ananias. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. That's Acts 19:16. So Paul was to suffer great things due to his mission to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And he suffered these things mainly at the hands of the Jews. But secondly, Paul said that his ministry was for the purpose of bringing salvation to the Gentiles. This is found in verse 11, Romans 11:11. This was Paul's great purpose, God's great plan in using Paul. Paul says, I say then in verse 11, have they stumbled, meaning have the Jews stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. That was the great purpose of God in the whole matter. But Paul's fruitful ministry to the Gentiles had a rather unexpected purpose other than just saving Gentiles. God also used his ministry to save Jews. This is often how God works. God works in mysterious ways. God works in surprising ways, but he always works in very effective ways. And so God also used Paul's ministry to the Gentiles to provoke the Jews into jealousy and to save some of them too. Take a look at Romans 11:14. Romans 11:14 says, If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might, what? Save some of them. Now, even though Paul suggests that the saving of Jews would be a miraculous work of God, he called it rising from the dead, life from the dead, Paul goes on to advise the Gentiles that they should not consider it impossible. Listen, Mr. Gentile, it's still not impossible for God to save these Jews in Israel. And Paul uses the figure of the olive tree to show that the Jews have a natural proximity to the saving promises of God. The Jews, in this analogy, were the natural branches. And even though the natural branches were broken off due to their unbelief, the Gentiles should not consider it now impossible to graft them in again. After all, if God graft wild branches into the tree of salvation, we should not think it impossible that He could graft the natural branches back in as well. So all of this is instruction that Paul is giving to the Gentiles. So you can see here that Paul is advising the Gentiles to hope for and even expect that God would save some more Jews along the way. Fourthly, given that advice that God might still save some Jews, Paul advised the Gentiles not to boast against the branches. This is verse 18. This is what the Gentile attitude should be with respect to the Jews. He says, "Boast not against the branches." Paul advises the Gentiles not to have the attitude which the Jews formerly had against them. Now, the Jews formerly despised the Gentiles, but Paul tells the Gentiles, don't despise the Jews, but rather be merciful to them. Look at 11:31. "Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy." So Paul is advising the Jews, look, be merciful to the Jews. God might save them too. And now we come to our text for this morning, and we find in verse 25 that Paul advised the Gentiles as to the duration of the partial blindness of Israel. The question in verse 25 seems to be, how long will the Jews be blind? And you can imagine that that would have been a question in those early days. Has God blinded them for a few weeks? Will they be blind for a few years? How long will the blindness continue? And let's read it. I think it's fairly straightforward. "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Now, as to the duration of their blindness, Paul says it will continue until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, when Paul says that their blindness will continue, he's not talking about the remnant according to the election of grace. Paul has already said that there's a remnant according to the election of grace, and he has suggested that God might continue to save there in Israel, but he's talking about those that have been cast away, those that have been blinded due to their unbelief. We all know that there was a remnant in Israel whom Paul hoped to win to Christ by his very own ministry. So their blindness would not continue until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. But as to the castaways, as to the general majority in Israel, their blindness would last until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So we want to take a moment here this morning and consider the fullness of the number of Gentiles. Paul refers to the fullness of the Gentiles being come in. And let me just say that this is the only place in the Bible that we find the phrase, the fullness of the Gentiles. Paul does use the same word where he refers to the fullness of the Jews. This is found in verse 12. Look back at verse 12. He uses the same term. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? But you see, there he's referring to the full number of the Jews who would be saved. The Greek word translated fullness is pleroma, and the principal meaning is that something is filled up or completed. If you were filling up a bucket with water, whenever you poured in the last drop, that completely filled up the bucket so that no more water could be contained, then you might say that the fullness of the bucket has come in, you see. Now, if the water came an inch from the top, it would not be full. But when the bucket has all the water that it can hold, then the bucket is full, or pleroma in the Greek. This same word, pleroma, is used in 1 Corinthians 10:26. You might take a moment, flip to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 26. This is in a completely different context, but it gives you an idea of what the word fullness means. It says, "For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof." How much of the earth does the Lord own? All of it. When Paul says that God owns the fullness of the earth, he means that God owns every bit of it. Every last particle of it, God owns. If you were to put every last particle of the earth on a giant scale, then you have put the fullness of the earth on it. It is the completed number. If one rock were left off the scale, then it would not be the fullness of the earth. Paul also used the word pleroma in Galatians 4:4. So flip to Galatians 4:4 for a moment. And in Galatians 4 and verse 4, it says, "But when the," what? "Fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." What this means is that when the time was completed, that is, when every last second of that old dispensation had ticked off the clock, then God sent forth His Son. God didn't send Christ 100 years too early, but He sent Him at just the right moment. It was when the fullness of time was come. So when Paul speaks of the fullness of the Gentiles, he speaks of the full number of them. He speaks of the full number of them who would come in. Paul is talking here about the full number who would come into the kingdom, the gospel kingdom, that is. He's talking about the full number of those who would come to Christ. He's talking about the completed number. Every last one of the elect Gentiles is who he's talking about. The Jewish blindness would continue until the whole bucket of God's elect Gentiles are come in. Now, I take it that the Gentile fullness has not yet come in, and we're 2,000 years later. The gospel has penetrated into most of the world, but God is still saving Gentiles in every part of the world. We send missionaries out because we believe that. And the bucket is not yet full. The savings of the Gentiles is not yet complete. And guess what? The blindness of Israel has not been lifted. That's what Paul is saying in verse 25. How long will the blindness of Israel continue until the fullness of the Gentiles are come in? So we've seen that the blindness of Israel shall continue until the full number of Gentiles be come in. But there's another passage where Jesus refers to the fullness of the times of the Gentiles. Speaking of the destruction of Jerusalem in Luke 21, Luke chapter 21 and verse 24. Here's what Jesus said there. Jesus was forecasting the demise of the Jewish nation. And he said, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword." That did happen in Rome in AD 70 when the Romans came in and slaughtered over 1 million Jews. "They shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles." For how long? "Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." So you see, this is not only taught by Paul, also by our Savior, Jesus Christ. So here we find another reference to the long duration of the blindness of Israel. The nation will be blind for how long? It will be blind until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So there is a definite time set for the completion of the Gentile salvation. The times of the Gentiles will continue up to a certain point in time, and the blindness of Israel will continue for that long. How long is that? It's a long time. So we want to consider now when it is that the times of the Gentiles will be completed. So I want you to read on in this Luke passage, Luke chapter 21. We want to find out how long that is. Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 28. "There shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." It seems to me that Jesus is telling us when the times of the Gentiles end. Same context. Immediate context. It certainly seems that the times of the Gentiles extends all the way out to the second coming of Christ, according to Luke 21. And just before the coming of Christ, there will be ominous signs in the heavens. And then the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And all of a sudden, men will look up and see Christ coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And it will be the time when the elect of God will receive their ultimate redemption. That's what he means, for your redemption draweth nigh, you see. So when we go back to our text in Romans 11:25, we see that the partial blindness of Israel was to continue how long? Until the full number of the Gentiles would come in. And in Luke 21, Jerusalem will be trodden down underfoot until the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. It's almost the same language. And immediately Christ will come back in great glory and power, bringing redemption with Him. That's what that Luke 21 passage says. Furthermore, the coming of Christ in Luke 21 is coincident with the shaking of the heavens. And Paul's point in verse 25 is that the blindness of the nation does not end. It continues on to the coming of Christ. Now, as to the duration of Israel's blindness, Paul instructs that Israel's long and sustained blindness until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in was a mystery. Do you see that in verse 25? It's a mystery. Now, a mystery in the Bible is not something that is unknowable, and sometimes it can be a very simple thing. It's not something that's too hard to understand, but When the Bible refers to a mystery, it's something that was previously not revealed. It could be a very simple thing, but not yet revealed. And here it seems to me that the point of verse 25 is that the blindness of the nation would be long and continuous. Now, the blindness of Israel was predicted in the Old Testament. It's not the blindness itself that apparently is the mystery here. But the long duration of the blindness was not revealed in such terms. You might remember that Paul does quote David in Romans chapter 11, and here is what David said according to Paul. Look at Romans 11, 9 and 10. David gave us a hint of it. Romans 11, 9 and 10. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back. What's that next word? Always. David gave us a hint of it, of the always nature of their blindness. Now Paul is making it very clear. In verse 25, they will be blind until the very end, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That word translated always in Romans 11, 10, I believe it is the Greek word diapontos, and it means through all time, constantly or continually. That's what the word means. So David seemed to prophesy that the blindness of Israel would be for all time. And now Paul reveals more clearly that indeed it would be to the end. That is, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And Luke says that the times of the Gentiles ends with the coming of Christ. So now Paul has cleared up a mystery. He has revealed that the blindness of Israel will be constant and continuous until the end of the Gentile age. So according to verse 25, we should not look for a national conversion of Israel during the present age. I think I can say that safely. During this present age, there will be no conversion of Israel. Verse 25. In fact, through verse 25, Paul has not revealed any such national conversion. He has stated that he was praying for them and that he hoped that some Jews might be saved. He has suggested that there is a remnant according to the election of grace, but to stretch that into a national conversion of Israel goes beyond Paul's words altogether. The thing that causes the thought of a national conversion of Israel is found in the next verse, verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. That's what causes the controversy. Paul says in verse 25 that their blindness is going to continue all the way to the end of this age, all the way to the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And then in the very next verse, he says, and so all Israel shall be saved. Even though I personally do not think that Paul is saying that every person in Israel will someday be saved, I don't think that's what he's saying here, but some do. Let me just say this. As a preacher, I'm not against it. I hope God does graciously save every person in the nation of Israel. Who could be against that? As a preacher, I hope he saves every person within earshot of this message. I hope he will save every person in America. Our prayer could be that every person in the world would be saved. It is God's preceptive will that all men be saved. Did you know that? By precept, yes. He commands it. He commands all men everywhere to repent and believe in 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. It reads like this: "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." That's His preceptive will, according to His precepts. I want to take a moment here and discuss why I don't think verse 26 refers to all or the majority of the nation of Israel. This is very controversial. If enough people heard this message, I'd be getting phone calls. I don't care. First of all, the word Israel is used by Paul in two different ways in our very Romans text. Do you remember that? Sometimes when Paul says Israel, he means the whole nation. But at other times, when he uses the term Israel, he's referring to all those Jews who were the elect of God within the nation. He uses the term Israel in both senses in Romans 9:6. So take a look at Romans 9:6 and let me show you that he uses the word in our very context in both ways. Romans 9:6 says, "Now as though the word of God, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel." So you see, there's the bigger Israel, there's the nation that included a lot of lost people. Were these who were lost and reprobate and cast away, were they really Israel? Not according to Paul. He says they were not all Israel, which are of Israel. Furthermore, Paul includes Gentiles in the category of the people of God. In Romans 9 through 11, he emphasizes the fact that it is not Abraham's physical descendants that are the people of God. It is those to whom God has issued the promise of salvation. They are the children of God, and it's not only Jews who are the people of God, but Gentiles are too. Take a look at Romans 9, 23 and 24. Romans 9, 23 and 24 says, "And that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy." You see, it's really the elect who are God's people, "which He had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom He hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles." Can you legitimately call Gentiles the Israel of God? Why, yes, you can. And Paul has done it in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16. Paul refers to all believers as the Israel of God in Galatians 6:16. So when Paul says, "And so all Israel shall be saved," there is a real and legitimate question as to which Israel he has in mind. Secondly, I want to emphasize that the Greek grammar here suggests a different reading than "and so." Our translators put it this way. They say, "And so all Israel shall be saved." Many interpret that to say, "And then, after the Gentiles are come in, then all Israel will be saved." Our translators have put it in a way that is somewhat ambiguous, maybe on purpose, you see. Maybe they even disagreed, I don't know. But they say, "And so all Israel shall be saved." But the Greek word translated "so" in verse 26 is huto, H-O-U-T-O. If you take Strong's Greek dictionary and look up the word, the very first definition that it gives for the word huto is in this way or in this manner. It doesn't seem that Paul is saying the fullness of the Gentiles will come in and then all Israel will be saved. If Paul had said, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in and then all Israel shall be saved, that would seem to indicate that there was some time frame after the Gentile age ends, which many claim, which many hold to that idea. And after Christ comes back, when the Jews as a nation would be saved, that's what many believe. But if this were translated with the primary meaning of huto, it would say, and in this way all Israel shall be saved. So if that is Paul's intent here, to suggest in this way, then he was suggesting that God used the continuous and non-ending blindness of Israel to bring in many Gentiles, and in this way, all of the spiritual Israel shall be saved. Those who were really Israel, in the true and spiritual sense, shall be saved. We are considering verse 26, which our translators have translated, and so all Israel shall be saved. The third consideration is that nothing in the preceding context has suggested that God would save all or the majority of national Jews. If you read Romans 9, 10, and 11 up to 11:26, there is not one suggestion that God would save all or the majority of Jews. In fact, Paul has explicitly stated that he hoped that God might save some of them. You remember? Verse 14, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them. If Paul knew that God was going to save all of them, if that's what he means in verse 26, he knew it all along, you see. If he knew that God was going to save all of them, at least at some point in history, he certainly didn't indicate that in the whole preceding context. In fact, he seemed to indicate that at best there was a remnant in Israel according to the election of grace, Romans 11:5. This was always the case in the Old Testament, and it was the case in Paul's day, and in Romans 9 and 10, Paul does not suggest any national conversion of Jews. Fourthly and lastly, Paul has made the point that there is now no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. Now, I know that some people will slough that off as he doesn't really mean that. I think he really means it. I think he really means that in the gospel there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The point that Paul makes is that it is not the nation that is the recipient of the saving promise of God. It is not Abraham's physical lineage that is the recipient of the promise, but it is the elect of God to whom God made the promise of salvation. And His elect children are found in both Israel and in the world at large. If it is true that there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, then perhaps verse 26 does not refer to the saving of all Jews, since this would seem to make a difference between the Jew and the Gentile. Much more could be said. We don't have time for that this morning. Maybe we'll pick up next week. I don't know. Would you bow with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, which is our instruction. It is our guide in all things. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to understand the words and the phrases. Most importantly, we hope that You would help us to understand the big picture. What is the whole context saying? And Lord, we pray that You would open our hearts to see Your Word more clearly from day to day. We pray this in Christ's name.